everyone, welcome along to this week's assist brought to you by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and once again, I'm joined by Mark Langdon and Dan Charles to look ahead to the weekend's football action. And it's been a busy midweek, of course, with a full list of Premier League games, and we're straight back to it in terms of the top flight on Saturday. And let's kick off with our featured game, the big match of the week, which takes place at 5:30 on Saturday evening. It is Arsenal against Aston Villa at the Emirates. Arsenal are 12-25 to claim the victory. It's 6-1 Villa and 16-5 the draw. Mark, we'll start with you with this one, and we can't start really anywhere else other than the North London derby on a Wednesday. Firstly, what did you make of Arsenal's performance?
I thought Arsenal were very good in the first half. You know, they played at a really high tempo. Odegaard was getting on the ball, put a lot of pressure on Tottenham, you know, defended high, were aggressive, you know, the crowd were involved as well. So all of them things, I think, sort of, you know, pushed them forward. There were moments in the second half where I wasn't sure if it was tiredness or, you know, Arteta does get criticised, doesn't he, for, you know, just sitting on a lead and being defensive. Yeah. And I did think in like the last 15, 20 minutes, they invited pressure that maybe they didn't need to and were going backwards a bit too much. But it was a very important victory given Liverpool dropped points the day before, and it hadn't been a great build-up really to the game, had it, for Arsenal. We're out of one cup competition and, you know, trailing Newcastle by two goals in the League Cup semi-final. So they absolutely sort of needed that win. They got it, deserved to win the match. I still don't think they're playing maybe to the levels that they were when they were, you know, absolutely flying, wasn't it? Just after this time last year, really, they really went on a good run. But, you know, the win's all that sort of matters if we're getting into cliche territory, and they did that. If you were sort of being critical, you would say first goal is, you know, possibly an own goal, or, you know, it comes from another set piece. The second one, you know, the goalkeeper probably could have done better in the North London derby. And, you know, they are still struggling to put teams away and to make the most of the opportunities that they're creating. And there isn't that long left in the January transfer window. And I know a lot of Arsenal fans are getting agitated and would like to see another forward player brought in, you know, particularly with Saka and Gabriel Jesus out injured at the moment.
Yeah, Dan, I think it's fair to say that the majority of people are probably a bit surprised that Arsenal haven't dipped into the transfer market yet to get in another forward. I mean, Arteta changed things around against Spurs. Sterling got a start. Didn't seem to work particularly well either. It's a bit of a concern, I'd suggest, at the minute.
Yeah, I thought Sterling was really poor, actually. The missing Saka, absolutely terrible. The drop off on the right there from Saka down to Sterling to me is massive. As Mark said, they pressed Spurs and played with a lot of energy in that first half, and that kind of like got them in front and ended up they fully deserved to win the game. But I wasn't actually that bowled over with the game in general. I didn't think it was a particularly high quality game, and you know, I was probably less convinced by Arsenal after the game than I was before, even though they won the game, strangely, because just like I said, that drop-off from losing Saka, and I just, from open play, they do not look like anything like the team that they have been in the past. You don't look at them and see and worry about them and absolutely slicing you open anymore. I mean, yeah, even with Odegaard back in the side, he obviously makes a difference, but they don't look, you know, a particularly great team to me from open play, whether that's a lack of confidence, the last couple of results, I'm not so sure. I tend to think they just rely really, really heavily on one key player, and that's going to be a problem because he's out for quite a while. So, yes, they're closer to Liverpool and they needed that result. It was a big result for them. Whether they can carry it on, I'm not so sure.
Well, Villa got a useful away victory at Everton. What have you made of how they've been playing, Mark, of late?
Not amazingly well. I think, obviously, the games are difficult for all of the European sort of challenges at the moment, and it has been absolutely relentless, hasn't it, this season? And we've, you know, just come off the back of a double Premier League game week, and if you like, Villa have used up a lot of energy in their Champions League games. They've had some big ones, haven't they? You know, Bayern Munich and Juventus being sort of the two standout ones, and particularly the Bayern one. And you know, they've had to put a lot of effort into the Champions League, and I think that's impacted them. I thought they were really bad against West Ham in the FA Cup. All that matters is you win the FA Cup tie, and they did that. But It came from an absolutely joke of a corner decision where they got the first goal. I mean, I couldn't believe the referee gave that. I don't know what he was seeing. And then they won it sort of late on. But for a large part of that game, I didn't really feel like it was coming for them. But you know, they got the victory against Powder Puff Everton. They're kind of, I suppose, where you'd expect Villa to be, really. I'd see them as a team that's sort of just on the fringes of kind of Champions League, European football in terms of qualifying, and that's where they are in the Premier League table. They're punching above their weight slightly in the Champions League. They've got this FA Cup fourth round home game against Tottenham to come up as well. So I think Villa's season sort of, it's about par in the Premier League and just above par in the Champions League. I've been impressed with them more in that competition maybe than in the Prem.
Do you think, Dan, that it's fair to put these, I was going to say struggles, I don't think it's been overly a struggle for Villa, but certainly they're not quite hitting the heights of last season. Is that mainly, as Mark says, due to that European action?
I think so, yeah. I don't think that, materially, I don't think they're doing too bad. I mean, they're 3 points off the top four, two off the top five. Had all these Champions League games to play. They've put a lot of, understandably, it was a big deal for them, the Champions League, and they've put a lot of energy, mental and physical, into those games. And performances recently haven't been wonderful, but they have started picking up some results, and they're quite handily placed. If you think that, if you don't expect them to go deep in the Champions League in the knockout rounds, they're probably going to have a less busy second half of the season, and that may have the knock-on effect of improving their league form, and they could end up getting into the top four or five and qualify for the Champions League again. I think Villa fans would certainly settle for that.
Of course, Mark, Villa threw a massive spanner in the works last season with a win at the Emirates. Are they capable of doing this again on Saturday?
They are, yeah. I just think that they're a sort of value bet here. I'm going to go for Aston Villa or draw, double chance. Arsenal, this is their third big game in a week, and I think that takes a lot out of you mentally and physically. They went out of the FA Cup to Manchester United, missed some chances in that game, but actually when it was 11v11, I didn't think Arsenal played that well. They then won North London Derby. Very quick turnaround from Wednesday to Saturday. They definitely slowed down in the second half against Spurs. And Villa, as you mentioned there, Warren, they won at the Emirates last season. I think they are capable of winning there again, but I'd rather just take the draw or Villa, double chance. I think that's sort of big enough at about 9-5.
Is Unai Emery going to cause problems for his old team again here, Dan, or is it going to be a home success?
I think he will cause problems for them. I mean, Arsenal just looked too short to me at the prices. Villa had that win at the Emirates last season. The 2-0 this season at Villa Park, I thought Villa actually played quite well in a lot of that game and had probably had the better chances. So, as I mentioned, although they're not shooting the lights out with their performances, they won three games in a row against Premier League opposition. That's not, especially easy to do. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm not that bowled over by Arsenal, I have to say. I thought against a very ordinary Spurs performance, they kind of made heavy weather of it, really. And I think Villa will probably give them, they've got a healthier squad than Spurs, in a more positive frame of mind. I think they'll give them a tougher game, and that's where I'm going with this one. I think it'll be a close game, going to go for the draw.
Okay, well, Arsenal against Aston Villa, just to remind you, is the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Let's have a look at the rest of the Premier League action then, now starting off with Saturday's early game, which is at St James's Park. It's Newcastle against Bournemouth. And in terms of the prices, Newcastle 8-13 to collect the win here. Bournemouth 4-1 and the draw 16-5. Dan, I think it's fair to say Newcastle are the form team at the moment.
Yeah, I think, 9 wins now, isn't it, in a row in all competitions. They're going fantastically well. A lot of questions were asked about their early season performances weren't great. Then the results started to dip. Now they seem to be, playing well and getting the results. Isak, absolutely on fire at the moment. And I can only see another home win here. I mean, the price has been cutting a little bit. I still think I'd be prepared to take those odds, 8-13. Bournemouth at the moment, they're having a fantastic season, carrying a hell of a lot of injuries, though, at the moment. The game at Chelsea, they're only like moments away, weren't they, from winning it? But, the shot count was very heavily in favour of Chelsea. I looked at their bench at Chelsea, it looked worryingly, inexperienced for me. So I just wonder if this might be perhaps a game too far for Bournemouth. Tough places to go, St James's Park, Newcastle to win for me.
Bit of a contrast between these two teams at the minute, Mark, because Bournemouth seem to be lacking in goals a little bit, considering that Evan Nielsen and Unal are out through injury. Newcastle firing all cylinders, and Isak in particular, very impressive.
Yeah, I'm struggling to think of anything different to say, really, to what Dan suggested. Yeah, I thought Newcastle were fair enough, at the prices they were to win the game. I like Bournemouth, but I think I had sort of stepped too far for them. Just the injuries they've got at the moment is going to impact them, in those attacking areas, I think. So work to be done for the Cherries in the transfer market, just to make sure that they can kind of finish off all of this good work up until this point, because even Nielsen's injury particularly is, a big blow for them, because he'd filled the role of Solanke reasonably well up until that point. They've still got, good attacking wing play and they're a threat, but just fancy Newcastle really to have too many attacking weapons for them.
I think I will quickly mention the drop-off on that bench is potentially quite alarming if they get more injuries. They've got two players they've just recalled from a loan spell at Carlisle were on the bench. Jeppesen, who wasn't getting a look in really at Watford, he came on for them at Chelsea. Any more injuries and they could be, it could be a massive drop-off.
Yeah, they need the players back as quickly as possible. There are just 3 3 o'clock games taking place on Saturday, and we'll start off with the one at the G-Tech Community Stadium where Brentford faced Liverpool. Brentford as big as 5-1 to collect the victory here. Leaders at Liverpool are 2-1 on, and the draw is 7-2. And Mark, we'll start with you with this one. I mean, I saw the first half of Brentford against Manchester City in midweek, and I have to say, of what I saw of bits of the second half as well, I thought they were full value for the draw in the end, and that comeback draw will boost confidence, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Brentford did create chances in that game. I think they probably fancied it against Man City. City are vulnerable on the counter-attack, and that's what Brentford are good at. I am just going to say, I thought Thomas Frank's team selection against Plymouth was an absolute joke. I mean, try and win the FA Cup and then lose the game against Man City. I don't see what a point does in that game, but I suppose it's not my money we're talking about in terms of the revenue from every position you finish up in the Premier League. But yeah, the goals came late, but I certainly don't think they deserve to be 2-0 down when they were 2-0 down in that game. I think Liverpool have a battle, but I think that they'll win the match. I was impressed with the way Liverpool pushed on against Nottingham Forest. Second half, Matt Sells has put in a remarkable performance to keep them at bay. Brentford, I don't expect to offer Liverpool that much space. It could be a bit of a slog for the Reds again. I'm going for Liverpool to win and under 3.5 goals.
Yeah, Liverpool had to fight back again, Dan, in midweek against Forest, but certainly showed signs there. And I think a major bonus for Arne Slot is Diego Jota getting back to full fitness now.
Yeah, huge boost. He looks at, really sharp, doesn't he, at the moment? Just, that forward line, there's so many good options up there now for Liverpool. A lot of players in form as well. But I'm a bit worried about the little bit of a short-term trend of sort of slow starts that they're making. They started that Man United game really slowly and struggled to get going. The Forest game, they did get going, but in the end, they paid for the slow start by not getting the win. The loss away to Spurs as well wasn't a particularly great performance. I do think they're going to come again. I just think that there's maybe just a few little nerves at the moment. They're widely expected to go on and win the league. And that Brentford draw against City was just a reminder of how strong they have been at home this season. I just think at the odds, I think Brentford will give them a decent game. So I'm going to go with the draw at 7-2.
OK, well, the second of the 3 o'clock kickoffs is at the King Power Stadium when Leicester play host to Fulham. Leicester 29-10, the draw 13-5, and it's 10-11 Fulham. Interesting one to try and read this, Dan. I mean, it was a hammer blow for Leicester to lose at home to Crystal Palace in the way that they did in midweek. But they're coming up against a Fulham team who, having been impressive about a month or so ago, seem to be kind of losing their way a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost, 3-2 at West Ham, where they conceded sort of two goals quite early. And I think they won the shot count 21-4. I think sometimes you've to just go on a one match result when they haven't played particularly badly. I think you've sometimes got to keep a little bit of faith in a side, and I watched a lot of Fulham, watched them, you know, live when they played Watford in the FA Cup the other week, and they just look a very strong, confident side to me. And I think they'll be, when you look at the price, a shade of odds on away to Leicester. Initially, you think going to Leicester, you know, traditionally quite a tough place to go. You think you're not instantly in love with that price. But the more I looked at the game, I just thought there's a big gap here between the teams. Leicester, I wouldn't be, I think probably second bottom is as high as they're going to finish. They look at, you know, quite a poor side to me, concede a lot of goals, losing their way going forward, missing Ndidi, I think, in the middle since he's been injured. I think that's been a, you know, part of their recent drop-off as well. So I'm going to go with Fulham here at a shade of odds on to win the game.
In fairness, Mark, both you and Dan said a few months ago that you feared for Leicester, and it's starting to look that way at the moment.
Yeah, I think I remember saying I thought they're the worst team in the league. I mean, that's a big shout with Southampton in it. But I actually think, you know, they played each other neutral venue tomorrow. I don't think you'd be all over Leicester to win that game. I think they, you know, where Southampton were losing maybe tight games earlier on in the season, weren't they? And, you know, conceding late goals and things were just going against them. Leicester were the opposite and nicking results I didn't think they at all deserved. And now their kind of performances and results are starting to match up. That said, I'm not in love with the Fulham price here. I just don't trust them fully at short odds. You know, before that trip to West Ham, they'd drawn six of their eight league games. So they are a team that are difficult to beat, but then you look and think they didn't beat Southampton at home. They've drawn twice against Ipswich. Just, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Fulham won, but I personally won't be backing them, and yeah, would feel nervous about suggesting them as a good bet.
Okay, well, we're going to turn our attentions to the third and final of the 3 o'clock kickoffs now, which takes place at the London Stadium. It is West Ham against Crystal Palace. The Hammers 8-5, Crystal Palace 7-4, and the draw 9-4. I suppose it's quite difficult, Mark, early on in this Graham Potter reign to see where West Ham are at. I think, you know, it was a decent enough first half performance against Villa in the Cup, and then they were kind of gifted two goals by Fulham in midweek. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, my thoughts are that I thought that West Ham would be shorter price, actually. I mean, in terms of the draw, no bet, you're struggling to find a favourite here. And I just think with home advantage, I'd be with West Ham. They have got some injuries. Like you say, they were gifted that lead against Fulham. And Dan referenced the shot stats that were heavily in Fulham's favour. I do think game state would have played a part in that game because West Ham have got in front. They don't then need to go pushing. Now, I think ideally you wouldn't concede 21 shots at home to Fulham, but they did get the win. They have got some quality players. I think Potter has got more chance of getting the best out of rather than Lopetegui. Palace have just lost Chalobah back to Chelsea. The fact that Chelsea are thinking about putting him in their team tells you sort of the calibre of player there that Palace have lost at the back. And I just felt home advantage was being sort of underrated for this game. And I think that, you know, the West Ham fans will be relatively happy with the Potter appointment, and, you know, there'll be a positivity around the stadium that maybe wasn't there for most of Lopetegui's reign. So yeah, I thought West Ham would have been a little bit shorter, actually.
Dan, what have you made of West Ham since Potter's gone in there? Signs of improvement?
A little bit. They look a bit more organised, don't they? I thought the performance at Villa, even though the loss was probably stronger than the one at home to Fulham where they won. As Mark said, game state plays a part in it. When you're 2-0 up, you know, there is a tendency to try and, you know, sit on your lead. But I just think that it's quite a lot that they've got out up front. I mean, with no Fulkrug, no Bowen, Somerville started the game against Villa well. He's a major doubt. Thought when he went off, they really missed him as well, Somerville, in the second half at Villa. They scored three goals from their four shots against Fulham. I'm not sure they're going to be that clinical, you know, going forward. Palace, I would have liked to get with them, but I just think the price has moved. It's certainly accounted for those injuries, isn't it? I mean, for Palace to be, you know, the odds that they are, they're very similar price to what West Ham are. So that's put me off really at backing Palace, because they don't win lots of games. What have they had, five wins in the league this season? So I just think close game, I'll sit on the fence here, go with a draw.
Okay, well, let's turn our attentions now to Sunday's action, and we'll start off at Goodison Park, where Everton face Tottenham in one of the 2 o'clock kickoffs. Everton 15-8, 11-8 Tottenham, and 5-2 the draw. Before we talk about the game specifically, I just wanted to get both of your feelings on the Everton managerial change, because that's happened since the last time we were here on The Assist. Mark, we'll start with you. Sean Dyche, I think, a little bit unfairly dealt with in terms of, you know, what he's done over the last couple of seasons for Everton. And yes, okay, you could argue that things have taken a downward spiral in the last sort of month or so, or 6 weeks. But you bring in a manager like David Moyes, and I just don't know what the change is there, or how much change is going to be.
So there's that meme, isn't there? That social media meme of Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's sort of like, yeah, it's the same. Look, I can understand why the Everton fans wanted something else other than Sean Dyche, because you know, he'll say that his objective is to keep Everton in the league, and that's fine, and he's done that. If you're a supporter, your objective is to not go there and sort of never see the team score a goal. I mean, you want to see some sort of entertainment. I mean, it's supposed to be a hobby, isn't it, going football, not you know, not an absolute slog. It's not supposed to be worse than work. And that's what it would have felt, you know, felt like sort of going to the dentist sort of most weeks watching Everton. So I don't disagree with the removal of Sean Dyche, but where I sort of agree with you, Warren, is that I just think Moyes is pretty much the same. He had some very entertaining players at West Ham, Paquetar, Kudos, Bowen, Declan Rice for a while. And I don't think we ever sort of saw them play the kind of swashbuckling football that, I think they were potentially capable of, although Lopetegui went in and did a worse job. So maybe they're not capable of that. But I thought it was an uninspiring appointment and a safety first one. These owners are also involved, aren't they? Roma, and they've brought Ranieri back to Rome. So maybe, you know, it's just, you know, they've got this attachment to, you know, they think there's a lot of sort of kudos to be placed in terms of that connection with a club. But I don't think you're going to see Everton sort of, you know, outperforming their current expectations unless they take a bit more of a risk with a managerial appointment. You know, is there anyone in the Championship that's doing well that you think, yeah, we can, you know, he's somebody that we should be looking at? You know, it never left field, is it, Everton? It's always with that safety in mind. And I think when you make those appointments, you know, you're only going to get served a certain type of football.
Having said all that, Dan, as well, I mean, a lot of the players really like Dyche, and you know that from the interviews that they had. I mean, he's getting quite a lot out of Ndai as a player who many people weren't sure whether he was a Premier League player. Is there a danger that Everton could drop further under Moyes than they were under Dyche?
I don't think so, simply because they're very, very similar type of managers. So that's why it's, you know, it's a reasonably safe choice. But in my mind, you know, you're getting rid of the safe choice and replacing him with a safe choice. Dyche is a bit of a takeover victim, isn't he? I mean, there was a takeover at Watford and he was got rid of because of the style of football. Takeover at Burnley, got rid of because of the style of football. Takeover at Everton, again, it's the same sort of thing. And unfortunately for Sean Dyche, in modern football, certainly at big clubs, which Everton are going to be looking to, you know, that's going to be taken into consideration. Where I'm surprised is just the choice of replacement. I think maybe they're worried, you know, because of the position they are in the table, you know, you can't, if you go for a style change now, you could even risk, you know, getting relegated and going into a new stadium as a Championship club. So maybe that's, you know, part of the issue. But I mean, we talk about David, I mean, every West Ham fan that I spoke to, maybe I wasn't speaking to the right ones, they were, you know, aghast at the style of football at West Ham under David Moyes. So it's, to me, you know, very, very similar. I don't see a lot changing there in terms of performances or results.
So it's Tottenham then on Sunday for Everton, Mark. And before you kind of get into the crux of what you're looking at bet-wise here, where are we at with Ange Postecoglou at the moment? Because we've gone to extra time against non-league Tamworth. And like you said, you know, a performance which clearly wasn't good enough in the North London derby, and another defeat.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously bang under pressure. I don't think he's the biggest issue at the club. I think, you know, the the wages they pay isn't reflective of the revenue that they earn. And so, you know, other mid-table Premier League sides are showing more ambition and you know, putting more into the club and resources. And, you know, I think that's a problem for whoever the kind of next manager is. I wouldn't make the change now because I think the cups are... I'd let Postecoglou play out in the cup competitions. You know, they only a week ago they were beating Liverpool 1-0, and you know, that's put themselves in a decent position there. They're still in the Europa League, still in the FA Cup. I don't expect him to be the manager next season. The only way he can be the manager next season is if they win a couple of cups maybe and really turn it around. But I just think the forwards are exhausted because they've had to play every week, and the defenders are probably, you know, they've got a lot of injuries defensively. So that's a big part of the problem. In terms of this game, though, I mean, Dan disagree. I've seen his selection for this one. I'm going for Tottenham draw, no bet. And the reason is that Everton have scored 15 goals all season. And I just don't see where the goals are coming from. And I think you at least know with Spurs that they have got goals in them. I know they didn't score against Tamworth, but you know, Timo Werner was up front, and if there was one bloke on that pitch that looked like he should have been working in Zara, it was him rather than the fella up front for Tamworth. So I think with their first choice forward line on, I think they'll score, and I just can't say the same for Everton. I think they're, you know, just so power to puff up front.
There are some pluses for Tottenham this week, Dan. No artificial surface and no massively long throwing into the penalty area.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually less annoyed with the Tamworth performance. I just thought the pitch condition there was so difficult. It was really hard to, I think, for any, you know, team to play any football on it. Just the ball seemed to be sticking to me. And so I thought the attitude was fine there. They got the job done in the end, in a tricky ground. But I thought the Arsenal performance was, they looked, for whatever reason, they just looked really jaded. It wasn't a typical Postecoglou performance. I think back to when Spurs drew 2-2 at Arsenal, you know, towards the start of last season when they were playing well. They really stuck the chests out and were brave and got a fully deserved 2-2 draw. I thought they were lucky to lose, really, 2-1 last night. And I do see where Everton's goal is going to come from, because Spurs cannot, they struggle to defend set pieces, and that is one area where Everton are strong. Spurs haven't got the centre backs there that can deal with them. The goalkeeper, I think he's great, and he is more of a presence in the box. That should help, but he had a bit of a shaky game, you know, the third game against Arsenal. So I fear it'll only take maybe one goal for Everton to win the game, because they were so jaded, Spurs, against Arsenal. I don't see that changing a great deal with a quick turnaround. So I think they're the likely winners. Everton draw, no bet.
There are another two games at 2 o'clock on Sunday, and up next we'll go to Old Trafford for Manchester United against Brighton. United evens to win the game. Brighton 13-5, and the draw is 13-5. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. How many false dawns have we said with Manchester United in the last few seasons? But I would say we're starting to see something now a little bit more under Amorim, certainly over the last two matches.
We are, yeah. I think there's always a danger, isn't there? Whenever there's a turnaround in results at a big club, the kind of expectation is that you go from like way down there to right up, you know, way up high. I mean, they're improving, but I think the bottom line is until the squad is reshaped and improved, there are going to be limits on how far they can go. I know their wage bill is really high, and then there's an argument that these players should be playing better. I'm just not sure they've got great value for money with their recruitment, and I think their ceiling is not particularly going to be that high. That, having said that, the last two performances, much, much better against good sides, and I think they'll carry that on here. I fancy them at home to Brighton. Brighton carrying a lot of injuries. They're kind of average kind of form has gone a little bit under the radar, really, Brighton. Lots and lots of draws. Only had 6 wins. As I said, with the injuries in the squad at the moment, now I think this is a bad time to go to Old Trafford. I'm going to take United to win.
Brighton seem to be struggling a little bit at the moment, Mark. And as Dan's alluded to there, you know, quite a few injuries have had an impact. But maybe a few first question marks for Hertzler as to how he turns this around.
Yeah, I mean, I think turning it around a bit sort of strong, really. You know, Brighton, if Brighton finish mid-table-ish, you know, that's what they pay for. I think that's a good season for Brighton. I think you need to be wary of expecting too much. Yeah, there's a lot of good, shrewd teams in the Premier League now, and I think as long as you're a club of Brighton size that is not being discussed about relegation, then I think it's a decent season. Then you know, whatever you can do beyond that, maybe a cup run or something like that, then you can have a good season. So I'm not overly negative about Brighton. I think they've kind of just regressed probably more towards the mean. We're speaking before United's game against Southampton. I mean, by the time this comes out, might have aged terribly and United have lost to Southampton. Everyone goes, oh, here we go again. But there's a couple of players for United that I think are standing out at the moment, and one of them is Diallo, and I'm going for him to score the first goal at 9-1. Before that game against Southampton, he's got 3 in his last 7. I think he's a massive threat. Like, he's so positive, makes a lot of runs. I think Fernandez is looking for him all the time. So I'll go for him, first goal scorer.
As someone who's just transferred him into my fantasy league team, I hope you're right, Mark, if that's the case. The City ground next for Nottingham Forest against Southampton. Forest 21-50, the draw 7-2, Southampton 13-2. On the face of it, Mark, it should be a comfortable home win. We've said that a few occasions earlier in the season and things have gone a little bit to awry, but so hard to make a case for Southampton in this one.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons being that, the fixture list has fallen horribly for them. I mean, Thursday, Sunday turnaround, Forest, Tuesday, Sunday. I mean, that's I think, a big difference for teams that are, not used to playing week in, week out at the highest level. I'm going for Forest to be leading at half-time and then to win the game. So Forest on the double result. Starting matches so strongly. They scored the first goal 16 times in the Premier League this season. And yeah, I mean, Southampton changed manager, changed style. I mean, maybe it'll sort of work for them sort of slightly, but they're clearly a poor side.
Yeah, Southampton struggling for goals already and up against that Forest back four who look very solid, Dan. It's going to be a hard ask.
Yeah, I fancy Forest to win. I just to try and get a bit more out of price, I'm going to go Forest and under 3.5 goals, because they don't tend to score bundles of goals, Nottingham Forest. And Southampton, sounds crazy because they lost the last Premier League game 5-0 at home to Brentford, but that was kind of, a bit of an outlier under the new manager. There's been a few more positive signs of them tightening up a little bit. The 0-0 at Fulham, lost 2-1 away to Palace, 1-0 at home to West Ham. The cup game against a decent Swansea side, they picked a strong team, won that 3-0. So there's just a few little signs that they're getting a bit more organised and solid. And I don't expect them to absolutely cave in here, although, as Mark's mentioned, the fixture list hasn't been very kind to them with a Thursday game at United. Forest to win, but not a massive scoreline.
OK, well, Sunday's 4:30 game is at Portman Road. It's Ipswich against Manchester City. 7-1 the home side, 9-2 the draw, 3-1 on for City. And ordinarily, Dan, you would say, well, you kind of expect that to be the prices. Are we convinced that City are through that bad patch, or are they still looking like a side that you just don't know how to predict?
I don't think they're through it. I think they're getting through it. Probably, without trying to sound stupid. They look at the Brentford. They've conceded 2 goals late on. They have up to that point. You've got yourself into a 2-0 lead. Phil Foden, who's been massively underperforming, has got a couple of goals. That's a big boost for them. I just think that the tempo of their performances is starting to kick on a bit. Even though it was against Salford, the Salford game, the tempo was relentless, and there were some players there that hadn't kind of been doing very well, been off colour. Doku, I thought, was really sharp in that game. So I think there's better players now threatening from the bench coming to the side, and the starting 11 are starting to perform a bit better. They're nowhere near there yet, but I think Ipswich as well, I think they've got, still got a fighting chance of staying up. I think Hutchison is a massive out for them. He looks like he's out injured for the game. And whenever I watch Ipswich this season, he's the creative spark for them, the guy that's going to do something special. The Laps that they got from City is a powerful player, another big player. But the creative wife, Hutchison, is key. So I'm going to take City to win this. Just to boost the price, though, I'm going to go City in under 4.5 goals. I don't see it being a massive lot of goals in the game.
I know you're a big fan of Liam Delap, Mark, up against his former club. He'll want to prove that they were wrong in selling him in the first place.
Yeah, I am a big fan of Delap. And I think I mean, are they wrong to have got rid of him? Maybe not. I mean, there's a big difference between playing and playing well for Ipswich and being able to lead the line for Man City. And had he stayed at City, he wouldn't have got the minutes to develop into the player that he is. So I think, you know, all round, I think, you know, he's done well to get out, found the club for him. I don't think this is a Cole Palmer where, you know, you realise, you know, he could have turned into be one of Europe's best players. So I think this is just a sensible decision, and he might go higher than Ipswich. I think he is capable of playing, you know, at sort of, you know, certainly somebody higher up in the Premier League. And I'm going for him to score in this game. Don't fancy City to keep clean sheets. I agree with Dan that they're getting sort of slicker in that final third. The defence still looks as vulnerable as ever. To me, and I think that's the problem for them for the second half of the season. And Delap likes these big games. You know, he scored in his last two matches, but he's also got goals against Villa, Tottenham and Chelsea this season. So it's sort of the bigger the challenge is, the more he seems to enjoy it. And I think he'd absolutely love to score in this game.
Well, last but not least, we have a Monday evening game in the Premier League, and it's at Stamford Bridge as Chelsea take on Wolves, an 8 o'clock kickoff. At the Bridge, Chelsea are 3-1 on to claim the victory. It's 6-1 Wolves, 5-1 the draw. That little honeymoon period of Vitor Pereira having taken over from Gary O'Neill seems to have maybe come to an end now, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, might have been just difficult trip to Newcastle. Yeah, and they've lost it. I think they would have settled for the points return that they got from the matches since Pereira came in. And I think you just, you know, you judge him over the period rather than individual games. I mean, that was chasing an experience for them at St James's, but you know, Newcastle are the form team in the Premier League. I certainly wouldn't be lumping on Chelsea to win this game. I mean, they've dropped some silly points in recent weeks, and I just find it quite interesting that, you know, Maresca's not really under any, he's not getting any flack for the fact that they're dropping these points. So, he'll be relieved about that because, you know, Pochettino was in a sort of similar position. He'd probably be getting pelters. I think that's maybe the difference between, you know, somebody that Chelsea fans want to be in charge and who they didn't want to be in charge, and how sometimes perceptions, you know, can just alter a feeling at a club because, you know, they dropped some bad ones lately, Chelsea. I'm not saying they're vulnerable here because I do think that they'll probably win the game, but I just went for both teams to score. You know, Chelsea have only kept two clean sheets in their last 16 Premier League games, and I'm not counting one of those shutouts because it came against Everton.
Dan, I mean, we look at this and we see the way that sort of Chelsea, as Marcus said, have sort of slipped off of late. Is there a big concern there, or do we think that maybe talk of the title was maybe getting in the heads a little bit?
Possibly, but I think the talk of the title, given where they were and the fixtures they had coming up, was probably justified. I mean, they've gone five games in a row in the Premier League where they were odds on to win, haven't won any of them. I mean, that, you know, it's quite remarkable, really. That, you know, if they'd have just won a couple of them, they'd have still been, you know, in the vicinity there and be talked about still possibly in the title race. But no, it's a big drop off. You wouldn't be wanting to be smashing into them at threes on, given that. You know, they've been dropping points against very similar ability sides to Wolves the last five games. But with Wolves, I mean, they had that initial improvement under Pereira. I do think he's done a decent job with them, and I fancy him to keep them up, actually. But at the moment, the 3-0 loss to Forest, 3-0 loss against Newcastle, probably not got as, no, well, certainly haven't got as big a squad as Chelsea, and that's comes into play, you know, in a busy week when you've got a midweek. So Chelsea, they'll probably win. I would just go with pretty obvious selection, I suppose. Cole Palmer to score first at 7-2. He's one of the Chelsea players that hasn't dropped off in terms of his form. Still scoring plenty of goals, playing well. Take him to score the first goal.
Well, that is the Premier League wrapped up then. Up next, it's the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
So we'll start off with our match in focus in the EFL this week, and it is the big derby clash in Wales at the Cardiff City Stadium. Cardiff against Swansea, a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. Cardiff 13-8 to pick up the points in this one. Same price for Swansea, and the draw is 9-4. I suppose the fact that, you know, they're both the same price in order to pick up the points tells you that the bookmakers are a little bit wary of this game here, Dan. And looking at the league table, you know, Cardiff are closer to fighting a relegation battle, but there's probably not too much between the teams at the minute.
Yeah, I think there is a bit of a difference between the teams. There's 10 points in the league. The stats actually suggest it probably should be higher. Swansea's XG is 10 goals more than the goals they've scored. I mean, you could say you put that down to bad finishing, but I've watched quite a bit of Swansea. They're quite a slick side under Luke Williams there. And I think if, with a fair wind and maybe, if they sign a striker it's by the end of the window to convert some of these chances, they might even have a bit of a run and push to, get close to those playoff positions. Cardiff, you know, we know they've got a relegation battle on their hands. I watched their game against Watford, the 1-1 on Tuesday night. They were unlucky, actually, Cardiff, not to win that game, but more down to Watford being poor than them looking anything special, Cardiff. They've had six games now without a win at home. Their style of football, it's quite direct. I think they'll be in and around the relegation area, towards the end of the season. And normally, with these derby games, I'm always reluctant sometimes to go with the away side because I know home advantage in a derby can be big. But I just think there's enough of a gap between these two sides to go with Swansea. Going to go with Swansea draw, no bet, because the draw's a big runner.
Just a quick one, Dan, on that relegation battle at the bottom of the Championship. I mean, it's heating up. We've seen, of course, the likes of Hull and Plymouth change their manager in recent weeks. All of a sudden, there's 3 points between Plymouth and the safety zone at the moment. There's probably one of about, three of about six or seven that are going to go down.
Yes, and I think that the markets seem to have this view that Plymouth were pretty much down, even though the table didn't suggest so. And I actually think Plymouth have got a fighting chance. They've had a lot of bad luck with injuries. I mean, Wayne Rooney takes a lot of flack, but he had a hell of a lot of bad luck on the injury front. His big players, got injured at the same time. Sissoko and Whittaker are really big players for Plymouth and had a few injuries at the back as well. They had a real tough run and they've been getting those players back now and their form was picked up. Probably everyone's putting it down to Rooney going and a different man, the caretaker manager coming in charge and now Muslic coming in charge, the new manager. But I think they'll have a chance. Difficult. I think Cardiff, as I said, I think are going to be there in the mix. It'll go. I'm sure right to the end. I wouldn't be firmly nailing my colours at the moment to anyone. It's notoriously open there in that Championship relegation battle.
Yeah, very tight indeed at the bottom. We're going to turn attentions now to Dan's EFL selections for this weekend. Dan normally gives us, of course, his three best EFL bets. And who are we starting off with this week, Dan?
I'm going to start off in the Championship with Bristol City, draw no bet, 29-20, away to Coventry. I mean, Bristol City, 10 points from four games. Not that far outside the playoff places now, making nice sort of quiet, steady progress under Liam Manning. Got a few of the forward players are starting to perform now. Anis Mameti's on a decent run of form. Scott Twine, who I think's a high class player, particularly from free kicks, he's been contributing as well. So, in the Championship, it only takes a couple of exciting forward players to make a difference to an otherwise average team. So, they're going quite well at the moment. And Coventry have not really picked up under Frank Lampard. I mean, they had a good manager before, didn't they, Mark Robbins? So, perhaps that's no great surprise. They conceded two late goals last league, going away to Norwich, lost 2-1. But the overall stats and the the way the game was going, it wasn't unlucky, that defeat. So, I think this one, Bristol City, I think the likely winner is going to go with them, draw no bet. Continuing into League One, going to go with Mansfield to win at home to Wickham. And Wickham have kind of having a great season at the moment, but have absorbed some big blows recently. Aaron Morley, the midfielder, was recalled to Bolton. Caleb Taylor, centre-back, has been recalled to West Brom. And the manager this week, Matt Bloomfield, he's gone to Luton. So that's three massive blows for them to absorb, really, Wickham. So that's probably a good time to play them. Mansfield have had four wins in their last five in the league. Got knocked out of the FA Cup at home to Wigan in the week 2-0. But I don't think they'll be massively concerned about that. They're not far off the playoffs. I would take them to win at home to Wickham. Finally, going to go into League Two, Swindon at home to Barrow. Swindon, big improvers under Ian Holloway, who's doing a fantastic job there. 10 points from the last four home games. Drew 0-0 with second place Crewe last weekend with a better side against the second place team. And Barrow have been on an awful run, really, under Stephen Clements. One league win in the last 14, tumbling down the table, lost seven of their 12 League Two away games. Then they'll lose at Swindon.
OK, then. So, Dan and his EFL treble for this week. It is Bristol City draw no bet in the Championship. Mansfield to beat Wickham in League One and Swindon to beat Barrow in League Two. Next up, we'll turn our attentions to Mark and his bet builder. And Mark, we had a 6-1 success last week with your bet builder. Hopefully more of the same this week. Which game are we looking at?
Yeah, so we're going for Newcastle against Bournemouth, the early kickoff on Saturday. So Bournemouth to have the most cards in the game. Bournemouth actually that have committed the most fouls in the Premier League this season. They're fourth for yellow cards as well. I think what happens is they press, but there's a cynical side to them. If you beat the press, they foul you. So going for them to get the most cards. I think they'll be up against it in the game as well. I'm going for Anthony Gordon to have a shot on target. He's had a shot on target in 11 of his last 14 matches, you know, playing very well off that left-hand side. All the sort of headlines being grabbed by Isak at the moment, and you know, for understandable reasons, but Gordon wouldn't be far behind him in terms of importance to that Newcastle forward line. And then, is it Uatara, the Bournemouth lad? You're better pronunciations than me, Warren, as the commentator. he's playing up front at the moment with no Unal and even Ilson. So I'm going for him to have a shot on target as well. He didn't have a shot on target at Chelsea, but that was, you know, a difficult game for the Cherries. Before that, he'd had five shots on target in his last three matches, and that included a sub appearance at Fulham. So probably more just the fact that he's, you know, organically more likely to have shots with him playing up front at the moment as a makeshift centre forward. So Bournemouth to have the most cards, Anthony Gordon shot on target, and Uatara shot on target as well.
Well, that's Mark's bet builder. And normally you would give us a prop shop selection around now, Mark, but instead you've got a bit of a special selection for us this week.
Yeah, I couldn't see anything in the props. I think the fact that it's midweek matches just made it quite difficult. Prices were slow, and you know, you just want to get all the sort of information in terms of team news and stuff like that. So I got a message from a very shrewd football judge over the weekend. You know, what was that saying about, if you can't be a good judge yourself, then be a good judge of other judges. And he messaged me and just said, like, can't believe that Celtic are 2-1 to win the Scottish Cup, which starts in earnest this weekend. Obviously, the prices are quite stale, and based off, you know, the pre-season expectations, there wasn't going to be much between Celtic and Rangers. The league table would say something completely different at the moment. And I think it's something like Celtic are 2-1 and Rangers are 5-2. Now, Rangers actually in Old Firm games recently have shown up quite well against Celtic. But if you actually just look at the league table, the difference between the two teams is enormous. So, I thought I'd put that one up to the listeners. The person that gave me the tip is a regular listener to the Assist as well. So he'll know who he is. But yeah, Celtic at 2-1 to win the Scottish Cup.
I actually thought it might have been a typo when you emailed that to me in the first place. I thought 2-1 was very generous. So Celtic to win the Scottish Cup, then Mark's special suggestion for this week. Time to give you our Assist treble now for this week as well. And well, I was scuppered by the weather last week as Port Vale's game at home was cancelled. So let's hope that there's no such frozen conditions this week. Dan, which are you going for in terms of the Assist treble?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Swindon at home to Barrow. I mean, their game was nearly scuppered by the weather as well, but they delayed it an hour, didn't they, because of all the fog that come down at the county ground. And as it happened, they were keen to get the game on, and they probably should have won it, Swindon. They were much the better side. I think Barrow, who are on a, you know, lost, they've only won one of the last 14 league games, is a much easier test, and I'd fancy Swindon to win.
Yeah, I can't believe they actually got that game on after seeing what it looked like about half an hour after kickoff. Mark, what's your selection for the Assist treble?
Yeah, fairly short, but Nottingham Forest to beat Southampton. The way the fixtures have fallen doesn't help Southampton with a Thursday, Sunday quick turnaround. But those two Forest centre-halves, Murillo and Milenkovic, You know, they head and kick everything that comes their way. So you'd fancy Forest for a clean sheet, and you can't say the same for Southampton. So, yeah, I'll go for Forest to win.
I'm actually going to go for Manchester United against Brighton. I was quite taken by the fact they were evens to win the game. I think United have looked so much better against Liverpool and Arsenal in the last couple of weeks. It looks like Amorim's found a team a little bit that he can trust. Brighton without a win in eight in the league, and they've actually only won three games on the road in the Premier League this season as well. So I'm going for Manchester United as my assist treble selection. So Swindon, Nottingham Forest and Manchester United are the assist treble this week. And we'll conclude this week's show with the naps from Dan and Mark. Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, struggling, I would say, this week, Warren, to pick out loads of good ones. But, both teams to score at Stamford Bridge on Monday. Chelsea against Wolves. I think Wolves are better going forward than they are defensively. And Chelsea have kept only two clean sheets in their last 16 Premier League games.
And where are you looking for your nap, Dan?
Mansfield to win at home to Wickham. Ninth in League One, Mansfield trying to... going for like a second successive promotion. Wickham lost their last away game 2-1 away to Charlton. Since then, they've lost Caleb Taylor, Aaron Morley, two key players, and Matt Bloomfield, the manager. So big task for them against Mansfield. Fancy Mansfield to win.
Okay, well, big thanks again to Mark and Dan for all their efforts this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. And make sure that if you are a golf fan that you join Steve Palmer and the Sweet Spot every Tuesday. We'll be back with an assist on Monday this week because it's a Champions League special ahead of Tuesday and Wednesday's matches. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.